of the day on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Brought to you by The Pig and Duke, your neighborhood pub at the corner of 12th and 12th Southwest, where you can win a trip to see the Seahawks versus the 49ers with a pigskin club.
The big story of the day. You've got this colossal matchup in Week 5 of the CFL between undefeated teams. But I'd rather focus on Bo Levi Mitchell, who is quickly earning a lot of praise as the starting quarterback of the Calgary Stampeders. And it's not only the successes, but it's in the way that he's also handled perhaps things that didn't go his way. I mean, the Stamps only put up 10 points in that victory over Hamilton, yet after that game, Bo Levi Mitchell set the tone. We're moving on. A win's a win. Nobody asks you how. They ask you how many. And he is really, really, well, you know what? Let me defer to someone who's been covering this game for an awful long time, and that is Vicki Hall. She does an outstanding job of, you know, covering football, has for a lot of years, has covered a number of teams. She was on this morning with Boomer, and she had this to say about Bo Levi Mitchell.
I just think that Bo, from what you see on the field, is impressive, but what you see every day off the field is even more impressive. I mean, Bo is one of the leaders on that team already, and he just carries himself with such poise and such confidence, but not cockiness. I can't tell you how impressed I am by that part of his game. He reminds me of, I hate to say it, a young Dave Dickinson. I feel old now, but he reminds me of Dave. They're different personalities, but they both have that I'm the leader, follow me thing about them. And I actually wouldn't be surprised one day to see Bo Levi Mitchell as a coach many, many years from now.
Well, it's funny you say that, Vicki, because Bo Levi Mitchell was coached in the offseason by another former Stampeder, and that was Jeff Garcia. Now, Bo Levi Mitchell looking for his fourth consecutive win this year. He won his three starts last year. If he wins his seventh start as a CFL player, he will tie only one man who holds that record, and that's Jeff Garcia. We were honored and pleasured to spend some time with Jeff Garcia earlier today, and you know what? I told him, look, Bo Levi Mitchell speaks so highly of you.
I know. I'm going to have to pay him a marketing fee, man. He's out there promoting my work. But, you know, you talk about a great young man, a young man who's really passionate about the game, passionate about making himself better, doing anything and everything that he can do to improve his skill set on the field as well as in the classroom, the mental side of the game. He came out here, he spent a month in San Diego with me, so I guess there aren't many better places to be if you're going to spend a month. So he came out here and we got after it. You know, we had some good quarterbacks in town, we had some NFL quarterbacks, we had Bo, and you know, every single day he stepped up to the plate, and he was a grinder, which is one thing that I talk about my experience and my want in the past as to what I wanted to achieve and how I was going to go after it. But it was about the work ethic. It was about the grind. It was about dedicating yourself to your craft. How can you get yourself better physically and mentally, prepared to be the best leader and the best quarterback on that field on that day? And that's what was created with the environment that he came out here and partook in, and it was one of those things where it was competitive. I felt like it brought out his best every single day. It pushed himself to exceed maybe the standard of what other people's expectations are for him and what his own expectations are, to improve that, to increase that, and really elevate your game.
Jeff, it's really interesting for me to hear you use the word grind, because when I talked to Bo Levi last week in a one-on-one, he used that same word. That when he was talking about your camp, he used that word grind. Can you flesh that out a little bit for us, what you mean by that?
Yeah, I think it's really about a dedication. It's a work ethic. It's a want to really get focused in and honed in on how I can get my body to be in the best possible physical condition, whether it's my strength or my overall conditioning, and my mind to be as powerful as possible, sitting down, watching film, reviewing tape, breaking down coverages, understanding my system as an offensive scheme and how I'm going to go through my progressions when I meet different defenses, different challenges, and really dedicating yourself to that everyday work ethic, that mode that you're going to go out there, you're going to put on your work hat, and you're going to push yourself to exhaustion, in a sense. And, you know, I was always one of those guys who had to overcome the obstacles, the roadblocks that were placed in front of me. And I took a lot of thrill in being able to prove people wrong. And I think with Bo, a guy coming out of the Washington program, Eastern Washington, and a guy who is just really coming into his own there in Calgary, to a point where he is exceeding what people's expectations probably were. And I know that when I had my opportunity to step on that field in 1995, and especially at home in that first game against Edmonton in the Labor Day Classic, I don't think people really knew what to expect out of me. They probably didn't expect anything close to what Doug Flutie was bringing on a weekly basis, but I knew what I expected out of myself. I expected myself to go out there and be a great leader for that team and to do what I had to do as far as playing the quarterback position to a high level and making it happen and leading that team to win.
Jeff Garcia joining us down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. You mentioned your start to your Stampeder careers. I said off the top, you know, Bo Levi is now chasing you for a particular record. What's he going through, Jeff? I know you kind of alluded to it because you came in, you know, and Flutie was there. But those first couple of games, is it about confidence? Is it about, you know, gaining the trust? What's Bo Levi been going through as a starter this year?
Well, he's a confident guy, first and foremost, and I saw that in how he approached his daily routine with us here in California. And he's not coming into this season without any sort of experience. He had the starts last year. He started to create some really good experiences and opportunities for himself last season. Now it was more about that competitive fire, coming into this training camp and earning that starting job, beating out Tate, making sure that the organization knew that he was going to be the quality leader that they needed to step on the field and really play championship caliber football. I don't think the kid is a nervous guy. I mean, hey, we all go through our nerves. We all go through that excitement. I know he plays with a lot of emotion, which reminds me of myself. I was a guy who played with emotion, who had to be excited out there, who had to play at a certain level of intensity in order to bring out my best. And I know he's that type of guy. And I think he just is excited about the opportunity and the challenges that lie in within his path week in and week out. And he goes out there and he meets it head on and he leads that team and tries to do whatever he can do to help that team win.
A little hesitant always to use comparables because I think athletes, you know, become their own man. They develop their own career. But is this a guy that you could see following a similar path that you had, that success in the Canadian League? Could that open some eyes south of the border?
Well, I think what he has to just continue to focus on is controlling what he can control. I didn't even realize or know that the NFL opportunity would present itself. I had gotten to that point after five seasons in the Canadian Football League, winning a Grey Cup championship in 1998, that, hey, if the Canadian Football League was my only professional experience, I'll say this about it. I'm having a great time. I love playing the game. I love the people of Canada. And if this is where I play my entire career, I'm good with that. I was very content in that way, but yet was still trying to elevate my game all the time, trying to be a better quarterback, a better football player, a smarter quarterback, all those things. And I think if he just controls and handles what he can control and continues to grow into the position and better himself and continue to lead and achieve great things on the field as an individual and as a team member, who's to say that that door doesn't open down the road? I don't think it's a matter of not fitting the prototype. I think he's big enough. He's got the arm strength. He's got the elusiveness, the athletic ability. I think he has the entire skill set that translates to both games, whether it's the NFL or the CFL game.
With Jeff Garcia down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline, just a couple more quick ones for you, Jeff. And what I'm curious about is I'm looking at jeffgarciafootball.com, and what we're talking about is the fact that Bo Levi came to your camp. Tell us a little bit about the academy you're running for quarterbacks.
Well, Well, I started this about 2 years ago now. It's pretty much been my second off season of working with young quarterbacks, and it really started with the youth and high school quarterbacks here in the San Diego County area, and eventually word got out, and people started to reach out to me and inquire about what I was doing, and that's where last year I did have a couple of young guys. Mark Sanchez came through, but this year more than anything, and it started with some of the pre-combine training for the college players coming out of their college seasons, preparing for the NFL combine and the NFL draft and their college pro days, and then it led to the NFL quarterbacks and CFL quarterbacks, having Tyrod Taylor from Baltimore Ravens, Matt McGloin from the Oakland Raiders, Matt Scott, who's now with Cincinnati Bengals, and then Bo coming down and getting some quality work in, and that progressing and continuing to grow. And really, it's about sharing my own personal knowledge and experience. There are a lot of quarterback coaches out there who want to claim that they are the best that is around, and I think that when you look at my scale of work, my history, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks out there that have actually achieved what I have achieved, and especially who are now coaching the position, the longevity, the tenacity that which I played at, the understanding of the game, the mental side, and then the physical side. I mean, I know Bo doesn't want to say it, but you know, I was challenging those guys every single day with my own abilities out there on the field. And I gave him a hard time. He talks about me training him. He doesn't talk about how I outgrew him. And so, you know, I love to get out there and compete with the guys, and I still keep myself in shape. Hey, they come and work out at my house with me. I put them through a lifting program. Then we go to the field. Then we go to the classroom. So we're getting it all in right here in San Diego, and I love it. The passion is still there. The fire is still there. The tenacity, like Bo mentioned, hey, I get fired up when there's an incomplete pass. I want perfection, and that's what I expect, and that's what my quarterbacks need to expect.
Well, let me defend Bo Levi, because he absolutely did talk about that, Jeff. Last week when I talked to him, that was one of the things that he admired and loved the best, was you were out there. You weren't just standing there with a clipboard. And it's again, it's a mentorship. Now, how did Bo Levi end up with you? How did he get referred to you?
It came really through, you know, I still speak to Coach Dickinson and and the coaches back there, and you know, Dave and I have had a relationship ever since we played together up there in Calgary. And he had mentioned that Bo was inquiring about coming out to San Diego, having a chance to work with me, and I encouraged it. And we eventually got on the phone together, connected. He talked to me about some contract situations, just some overall CFL experience. Type situations that I've been able to go through and what he was about to go through. And then it came down to, hey, let's set up a time. Let's get down here to San Diego. Let's start working and take advantage of some of this off-season time to really focus in on bettering yourself as a quarterback, bettering yourself as a player and a leader for those Calgary Stampeders.
Well, Jeff, it's an amazing legacy you have as a player, and now helping out the next generation of Stampeders. That is really cool. Listen, I really appreciate you taking the time. It's very impressive what you're doing with your football academy. Thank you for doing this today, and hopefully we'll see you back up in Calgary sometime soon.
Sounds great, guys. Hey, all the best, and go Stamps tonight. Let's do it.
The legendary Jeff Garcia. Good enough to join us earlier today. And I just, you know, I said it before, Josh, and I just love the fact that there's a symmetry to this, that here you have a, you know, you've only played five seasons in Calgary, but they were five mm-hmm. really good seasons. And many went
years,
in,
yeah.
You know, he went in and played and had a great NFL career, but here he is now, and you can just hear it in his voice. He is just digging this new job of helping out young quarterbacks, and he's a big believer in Bo Levi Mitchell, and Bo Levi Mitchell is a big believer in him, but there's a certain symmetry that here you have, you know, a former Stampeder quarterback now mentoring the current starting quarterback. And I'm not saying it's destiny, and I'm not saying that, you know, Bo Levi is going to go south of the border and all of those types of things. But Jeff Garcia is a believer. Dave Dickinson's a believer. And clearly,
he's making believers out of a lot of people.
He is. And you know,
how can't you be?
And it's a point that was made earlier in the week. in that third quarter last week against Hamilton, when they weren't putting up majors on the board, well, Brad Sinopoli had, but when they weren't having success offensively, what you wouldn't have blamed, nobody would have blinked if John Huffnagel put Drew Tate in.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and that has meaning. That has significant meaning.
It does to me, too, because it shows there's not a 1A, 1B kind of thing here, or a 1 and a 1A. To me, that's your sign that Bo Levi, you're the number one guy. Drew Tate, you're the number two guy. Whether or not we see it or feel it in the fans, but the Stampeders obviously feel that there's a significant enough gap between the two quarterbacks to not throw Drew Tate in a situation to try to kickstart the offense there.
Yeah.
It's still the belief that Bo Levi is the number one guy.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, who knows? Maybe tonight you have another. The problem with, and this was kind of my whole thing about hype or not to hype. You know, here we are talking, you know, about the game, but you can talk about the player as well. Right now, three games into the season, Bo Levi looks like he's learning, maturing. He looks like he's the guy. You get, you know, somebody like a Jeff Garcia who has your back and campaigns on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
All of this looks good. All of this sounds good. But you got to carry through a full season.
Yeah, and he's going to be given every opportunity to do that, and he has so far. And so far, he's answered the bell. 3-0 this season, 3-0 as a starter last season. The players obviously believe him. They've got great confidence. They don't seem to miss a step or have to feel like they need to be a little more cautious when he's there. And even with John Cornish out of the lineup, it seems like the players still stick to the same game plan. They're still confident that Bo Levi can generate enough plays and get enough done and quarterback this offense and kind of get them going in the right direction. And that says a lot right there.
So Jeff Garcia talking about Bo Levi Mitchell. Bo Levi Mitchell with a win tonight would tie Jeff Garcia's CFL record for consecutive wins from the start of a CFL career. Starts. Winning starts from a CFL career. Jeff Garcia won 7 in a row to start his career. 7 starts in a row. To this point, 3 this year, 3 last year. Sitting at 6. And you talk about the symmetry. The first win for Garcia came against Edmonton, Labor Day. Bo Levi can tie it tonight in Edmonton against
the Eskimos. Yeah,
sure. Oh, it's cosmic. It's all meant to come together. That's the big story. Brought to you by the Pig and Duke, your neighborhood pub at the corner of 12th and 12th Southwest, where you can win a trip to see the Seahawks versus the 49ers at the Pigskin Club. Digging today. Tell you what, I'm working with two superstars. The show these guys have put together for me is fantastic. Brad True Living coming up at 4:45. Jeff Klein from the New York Times at 5:05. We'll talk a little bit about the Rangers. Also, some work that's being done at Virginia Tech that might help your noggin. And Jim Pack, he is the new head coach for Korea, their ice hockey association, as they try to put their program together in time for the 2018 Winter Olympics. We'll come back with some headlines. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Talk to your boss. It's totally okay to stream Sportsnet 960 all day and night on your work computer. In fact, it's new company policy. Sportsnet.ca/960. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, at least in the province of Alberta, north and south, a lot of talk about Week 5 in the CFL. It kicks off at Commonwealth Stadium. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you like your CFL football with storylines, let me give them to you. First of all, according to Dave Campbell, friend of the program, color analyst on 630 CHED's Edmonton Eskimo broadcast, the clouds, the weather in Edmonton, ominous. This game could get wet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
One storyline. Second storyline. Apparently, I love the fact that, you know, our neighbors to the north had not much to do today, so we're, you know, having some fun, supposedly, at this city's expense. The 50-50 has become an interesting story for this game. Close to $80,000 wasn't claimed the last game in Edmonton. So somebody won a 50-50 of close to $80,000 and just, what, you're too rich in Edmonton? You don't need the money? You walked away without checking? Really?
I hate to leave that game early.
Now it's going to roll over into tonight's game. And if people brave the weather, if there's a big walk-up, rumor, and I don't like dealing in rumors. I prefer to have this as fact. But on this one occasion, I will deal with this as a rumor. Possibility of a 50-50 over $200,000. Possibility of over $200,000. So there's
take home or take home would be 100 then.
No. No.
No.
Sir.
No.
No. Apparently, this is a big water cooler that when they, you know, go out for whatever they go out for in Edmonton, this is what everybody's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's one of the storylines. Here are a couple other ones, no particular order. The Eskimos lead the CFL with 18 sacks this year in four games. And I believe the Calgary Stampeders have given up all of three. So that's one area. The Eskimos also, they're unreal in takeaways this year. They are just terrific. They've been
ball. They force a lot of turnovers, yeah.
But the Stampeders have yet to give up an interception yet this year. Calgary has won eight straight against Edmonton. Eight straight against Edmonton dating back to September 5th, 2011. They have won seven straight at Commonwealth Stadium. So there's a couple of the numbers just to tease you going in. Charleston Hughes clearly thinking what you and I are thinking about. Boy, if you could turn this into a big game, it's going to make those games in early September a lot of fun.
I think it does elevate things a little bit more. It's almost like the pre-show to the Labor Day Classic, right? So this is like the opening act, and we're going to pretty much display what's going to happen on Labor Day. So after we play this game, we'll see who comes out on top.
Now, for his part, John Huffnagel, would you want to play cards against John Huffnagel? Is John Huffnagel a guy that you would play poker with?
Not very well.
I mean, he seems like a sociable guy. Will would play with him because Will likes a challenge. But there's not a lot that gets shown by the head coach of the Calgary Stampeders. This is about as close to him being, you know, rambunctious, joyful, and excited before a game.
Well, it's exciting. You know, anytime 250 teams. Now, you know, Edmonton faced an undefeated team last week and fared out pretty well. But, you know, the Bad Alberta is back, and that's great to see. Jonesy has done a great job with his football team. He's an excellent football coach. Everywhere he's been, he's had success. And so this doesn't surprise me that Edmonton has this type of record. And you know, hopefully we can show up and have a great game because we're going to have to play good football to give ourselves a chance to win.
So two quarterbacks that everybody's looking at right now in, you know, in Mike Riley, who was a guest with you yesterday. Mm-hmm. And again, hats off to you, my friend. That was a terrific interview. I thoroughly enjoyed it. So much so that the morning guys even stumbled the puck.
That's got to be a first for me.
Well, you know, you made the big time when they're replaying your interviews the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That, to me, I just work in the morning and I just play it then. But you're right. And it was, you know, really, here's a guy that, you know, he comes on the visiting teams, you know, sports station in there, and I want to make, we're not the rights holders, that's somebody else, but he came in on a Calgary radio station,
and
I thought it was a really, you know, good story, nice guy. But of course, Bo Levi Mitchell, another guy we're talking an awful lot about. Bo Levi Mitchell, the opportunity tonight, you heard it a little while ago, there was Jeff Garcia. Jeff Garcia won his first seven starts in the CFL. That is a CFL record. Bo Levi Mitchell has won six starts to begin his career. Wins tonight in Edmonton, and he ties Jeff Garcia. What's interesting is Garcia is his offseason mentor. He goes to San Diego. He worked out with him. But what else do we know about Jeff Garcia? Well, he was here in the CFL for 5 years, and then he made a name for himself south of the border. Hard not to ask the question, and I did. Jeff, do you think Bo Levi could be an NFL quarterback one day?
I think if he just controls and handles what he can control and continues to grow into the position and better himself and continue to lead and achieve great things on the field as an individual and as a team member, who's to say that that door doesn't open down the road? I don't think it's a matter of not fitting the prototype. I think he's big enough. He's got the arm strength. He's got the elusiveness, the athletic ability. I think he has the entire skill set that translates to both games, whether it's the NFL or the CFL game.
This is absolutely the epitome of taking the cart, driving the cart to a different township, dropping it off in front of the horse. There's a lot of football left to be played. There's a lot of this season left to be played. But it was hard not to have a guy like Jeff Garcia who came onto this radio station so passionate on this topic and not ask the question.
Yeah. It's really interesting. I mean, Bo Levi Mitchell, it's an interesting story to see if, you know, can he be the next guy? Is he going to be a guy that's going to go to the NFL? Is he going to follow that footsteps? And yeah, it would, you know, it's way in the future. That's beyond, you know, this conversation now. But certainly based on where Jeff Garcia was at this point in his CFL career and where Bo Levi Mitchell is at this point in his CFL career, it's not far off to think that the same career path may be taken down the road here a little bit.
Real Football Show coming up at 6 o'clock tonight,
o'clock,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get you set for that one. And don't forget, we will we'll be talking tomorrow. All we know is these two teams are combined 7-0 tonight. They'll be 8-1 tomorrow. You know, and a little worrisome. We've spent so much time talking about one player. I hope we haven't. Well, I won't even go there. Won't even go there.
No.
Lots to talk about. We switch to hockey. Just a programming note coming up in the next segment at 4:45. The general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving, will join us. And you'd say to yourself, Rob, but why? Well, it's simple. The Flames making an announcement today. They have signed goaltender Joni Ortio to a 2-year contract. I suspect, and we will be asking the general manager, that it is a 2-way deal. But Joni Ortio came over to, you know, to Abbotsford back in 2010-11 at the end of the year, 11-12, played 9 games, went back over to Europe for a couple years, came back, got a stint in the ECHL to start, went to Abbotsford when Red O'Bara got called up, put up terrific numbers, became a member of the all-rookie team in the AHL, got a stint in Calgary, not bad, you know, had pretty good showing, 4-4, 2.51 goals against, maybe faltered a little towards the end. But this is a guy that the organization has said from day one is ticketed to go back to Adirondack this year. But that doesn't mean he's not the second best goalie in the system, or might not become the second best goalie in the system.
Well, certainly the belief is that he's a goalie that's going to be here maybe a little bit longer than Jonas Hiller. Maybe it's a little early to say that because we don't even know who the number one this year for the Flames is coming in. It's an open competition in between the net for the Flames right now, and it's really not too far-fetched to say that if Joni Ortio comes out and outplays both Jonas Hiller and Kari Rammel, that maybe Joni Ortio is the guy who starts this season with the Calgary Flames. It's really no idea. The sure. competition is wide open. That's what these contracts have done. No goaltenders here signed over longer than a 2-year contract, so it's a healthy competition, and the door's wide open. It's been left open. This isn't the era where Mika Kiprusoff was coming in as the number one. We know who the number two was going to be. It was that veteran NHL goalie, whether it was a Philip Suave or someone they've brought in to be that guy.
I'm sorry, a who?
Philip.
And I normally I'm the worst at this, but I cannot. Suave.
Suave.
The Suave was a singer, wasn't he? Isn't that a? I'm looking at Will because Will knows all the pop culture stuff. Rico Suave. Sorry. Rico Suave.
And Philip Sove.
Sove.
Yeah. Well, you knew who I was talking about.
I did.
Now I lost my train of thought.
It was great, though.
It was a good one. Where I was going somewhere good. I promise you that.
I'm the last person with my Mike O'Reilly stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
I promise you.
And Rory McDonald and his outstanding open win.
Yeah. The UFC fighter he is, apparently.
That's who I'm thinking of. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, but yeah.
I think we got it. You know, it's all on me, Jay Hunt. That's all on
good.
Me.
It's all right. Good.
By the way, Ortio was not an arbitration case. I know there's a lot of arbitration cases, and we'll get to a couple.
Yeah, this
of them.
Isn't avoiding arbitration.
No, this was just a restricted free agent. The Flames now have two left to go, Lance Boma and Mark Condari. Montreal Canadiens today announcing that they have avoided arbitration with forward Lars.
Oh, there we go.
Lance Eller's coming back. Lars Eller. Oh, my. This is what I mean. No, you know, I've just got to stop it. it'll pay him 2.5, 2.5, 4.25, and 4.75. Eller had 26 points in 77 games, but I thought he was pretty good in the postseason, especially in that series against Boston. You know, he had 13 points in 17 games, 5 goals and 8 assists, was plus 6. He's 6'2", he's 215 pounds. Is he a number one elite centerman? No. But in a league where there's not a lot of number one...
Yeah, they're tough to come by.
Yeah, yeah. He can play in that 3-hole or he can play in that second slot as a centerman. It's a good deal for them.
And still a young guy who's got room to grow. This 4-year contract. I mean, it's not like he's going to be at the end of
25.
His career. 25.
So he'll be 29 by...
So 29 by it's over. So he'd still be kind of in his prime area when this contract is done as well. So a good deal for Montreal to keep him here for at least the early years of his prime.
Yeah. Lance Eller was terrible.
Lance Eller was a bad
just
hockey player.
Terrible.
There was Lance Eller, then there's a problem.
There's a problem.
We don't like the deal then.
No, him, Lance Eller, Rico Suave, just terrible hockey players. The Islanders avoiding arbitration with Kevin Poulin. A 1-year two-way contract. I think earlier I said it was a 2-year two-way, but it's a 1-year two-way contract. It's going to be a little tough for him, I think, to find NHL time with Chad Johnson signing as the backup, supposedly, to Yaroslav Halak. So, but Poulin's still a fairly young guy, 24 years old. He was 11-16-1 last year in 28 games for the Islanders. You know, we talked earlier about the Flames have, you know, all those years, 9 consecutive seasons of Mika Kiprusoff carrying the mail with no significant injuries. That's not the case on the island. Their goalies are always hurt.
A lot of places, that's not the case.
Joe Sacco.
Yeah.
Joe Sacco.
Found some work.
Yeah. He is a new assistant coach of the Boston Bruins. Sacco, of course, most recently was with the Colorado Avalanche, and believe it or not, was a Jack Adams Award finalist back in 2009-2010. He got the Avalanche to the playoffs then. He will replace, there's been a couple of, Jeff Ward, I guess, is who he's going to replace on the staff of Claude Julien's unit. But that's a nice pickup when you get a former head coach to come on your staff as an assistant coach.
Yeah, that is a good guy. I'm kind of surprised that he found work. I mean, you're a Jack Adams finalist not too long ago. I think you'd find work, but just kind of seemed like the way things ended with him in Colorado, it's kind of that entire team when they finished last place that year. It seems like there was a lot of, not bitterness, but just he kind of really let that room go and kind of let that team kind of get away from him a little bit. So kind of interesting, but finds himself as an assistant coach once again. Maybe that role better suited for him.
And finally, a note out of the NBA, Canadian Andrew Wiggins signing his deal with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That will, at least for the short term, waylay some of the trade talk, because once he signs that deal, he cannot be traded for
30 days.
Oh, boy.
I've been listening.
30 days. It's kind of a little comical, don't you think?
Yeah. I don't understand the whole point of that. Or?
Well, you know what?
What is it?
Based on what we're beginning to learn about CBAs and things like that, I mean, it's obviously a point in part with the NBA CBA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you saw right at the draft floor, players drafted and then traded immediately.
Yeah.
So they are a commodity, a little bit more so than maybe we see in the National Hockey League or other sports.
Yeah, it's interesting. And when you speak of that, kind of off topic, but I wonder if there's a guy that knows the 4 major sports CBAs inside and out, all 4 of them. Because there's...
That person would need a rubber room.
Oh, there is some weird things in all of them.
Oh, sure.
Some absolutely weird rules that jump out. Like, baseball's got some odd things in there.
We ought to take 5 minutes tomorrow and just talk about... Because we had the conversation earlier in the week with the gentleman from
SB Nation
talking about what the Houston Astros went through last Friday. Can you imagine if Aaron Ekblad didn't get signed?
Yeah.
The first overall pick in the draft didn't get signed. Now, you have 2 years to sign a player in the NHL. You didn't have that yet, about a month in Major League Baseball. But, you know, here you had a team that went and, you know, agreed to a deal. Player came in to sign it, took the physical. Team goes, whoa, you have a possibility of an injury that may cause Tommy John surgery. Oh, but I'm fine. I'm throwing fine. Yeah, but you might.
Yeah.
We're going to change the deal. And it all broke down. And you talk about CBAs. One's prickly.
Yeah, that one is weird. Like the Mike Trout situation this year. The best player in baseball, and the max he can get is $1 million compared to some of these other guys who are making, you know, $30, $40 million.
Oh,
it's just bizarre, like some of the rules. And you do need a lawyer to sit there and break it down for you step by step why it is like that.
We'll take a break. When we come back, always a pleasure to talk to the Calgary Flames general manager, Brad Treliving. Yoni Ortio signing a 2-year deal today. Joe Colburn earlier in the week avoiding arbitration. Plus, there's still a little bit of outstanding work for the organization in terms of filling in some spots on the staff of both coaching staffs, American Hockey League and NHL level. We'll talk to Brad Treliving about that next. Those are your headlines here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Proud to broadcast from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, I'll say this. If I'm the arbitrator for the NHL and the NHLPA, I hope I'm getting a flat rate, not getting paid by the hour. There has not been a lot of work for arbitrators this year. There really never seems to be around the National Hockey League. The Flames had just one arbitration case. That was Joel Colburn. They didn't even come close to going to Toronto for that. But Calgary has made a couple of signings this week. Mentioned Colburn, and today Yoni Ortio signs on the dotted line for a two-year deal. We go down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline, and always a pleasure to talk to our next guest, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, Brad Treliving. Brad, how are you?
I'm doing good today. How are you making out?
I'm upright and employed. We'll take it. Right? That's a good day.
That's a good day.
Yeah. We'll kind of go in. I want to talk about these two deals first. First of all, Yoni Ortio. And I hope you understand why I'm asking, but it's a two-year deal. Is it a two-way deal as well?
Yeah, what it is it's a two-way deal in the first year and a one-way deal in the second year. And, you know, the way we look at Yoni right now is, I think, people that followed our team and followed Yoni's progress, he took a significant step here last season. And is a young player. And in goalie years, you almost have to judge them differently. He's a real young goaltender and young to North America. This was his first full year over here.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we're set up here when I came in and really looked at organizationally where we were at the goaltending position, felt strongly that we wanted to create a competition at the NHL level, and obviously we did that with bringing Jonas in here, and I think we strengthened the goaltending position bringing Jonas in here. But one of the names that was, you know, it seemed to not be talked about after July 1st was Yoni Ortio, and we think this guy's got a real bright future. The byproduct of bringing Jonas in, and again, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. All the competitions will take place in camp, but if it turns out that Yoni goes back and plays significant time in the American League, that's a good thing. You know, you look at players and goaltenders in particular that have come up and graduated to become good NHL goaltenders, playing significant minutes for a good duration of period in the American Hockey League is a good thing. So I like, you know, not only the deal that we've gotten for Yoni, I like the player a lot, and I like our situation when we look at it organizationally at the goaltender position.
Two questions come out of that, Brad. One is, and it's kind of because we're only beginning, it seemed like the media got educated on the last CBA and we felt comfortable, and then another CBA comes about. Do you have to structure his contract differently at all to make sure that you're able to recall him and move him up and down, and then in case of an injury, if he is in Adirondack?
No, you don't. One of the, I guess, probably things that a lot of people maybe didn't see in this new CBR, one of the biggest differences was re-entry waivers. And in some cases, it was based upon games played and age. But significantly for a lot of those players that would go back and forth to the American Hockey League in the previous CBA, it was dictated by money. If you were making over a certain dollar amount, prior to being recalled, you had to go on re-entry waivers. That disappeared in this CBA, and really all that remains, as part of that, is at a certain dollar level, if you put a one-way contract in the minors, at a certain dollar level, a portion of that contract would count against your cap. Neither of those are apply to Yoni's contract here. So him going down to Adirondack, coming back and forth between Calgary, there'd be no restrictions.
And the other one, and I guess it's kind of a philosophical question, how do you approach an athlete like Yoni in the sense that you know, you hold training camp for a reason, to be competitive, but, you know, it's almost talked as if he is going, you know, we all know he's going to Adirondack, that's the best place for him, but how do you communicate that to an athlete? How do you deal with an athlete in this situation?
Well, I had a lot of talks with Yoni, and really, it's not so much about, you know, going down to the minors as much as it's talk about the process of becoming an NHL player. And, you know, Yoni is a very confident guy.
Mm-hmm.
As you find with a lot of those players, you know, there's not very many that when you send them down, they give you a big hug and thank you and talk about how excited they are. But the important thing we have to do as an organization is educate them on the process, that this is a process to become an NHL player, and specifically the most difficult position and the most important position is a goaltender. And my comment to Yoni is, you had an excellent year last year, and I know you feel that you're ready for the NHL. there hasn't been a goaltender that I've watched over the years that has been hurt by spending additional time going through all those rigors that you go through to be an NHL goaltender, playing a lot of games in a row, playing on nights that maybe you don't feel 100%, learning how to deal with that heavy workload. And he's done that once in North America. Having and being able to go through that again, I just think is a positive experience. So it's not so much of, okay, how do we deal only when you go down? It's here is the process. We're going to create a roadmap for you to give you every chance to be a successful NHL goaltender, and this is it. And then you point to the examples. It's a long list of examples of guys that have gone down and not only been just good goaltenders, but have been dominant goaltenders at the American League level. And once you're able to tackle that, and once you're able to put yourself in that group of goaltenders, then you're ready and you're prepared to become an NHL goaltender. We really believe that he's got the ability and he's got the temperament to one day be an NHL goaltender.
Bradshaw Living, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, our guest down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. I do want to ask you about Joe Colburn, but one more about, and it's not necessarily about Ortio, but it's just, as we're going getting to know you as the new GM, I'm just curious about your philosophy on development. Mm-hmm. The Detroit Red Wings have been looked at about over-ripening or having 150 to 200 AHL games. I've had other GMs tell me, first year you learn to be a pro, the second year you come up, play a few games, the third game you start in the American League, you end up in the NHL. Do you have a rule of thumb when it comes to development, Brad?
Well, my rule is, and you can look, you can, the first thing is each player, there's a different timeline for every player.
Sure.
So a lot of it is driven physically, a lot of it is driven mentally, socially, where are they at in terms of the maturity level? The rule that I've always gone by is no player is ever injured, no player is ever hurt, no player is ever harmed by spending too much time in the minors, to a certain degree.
Yep.
Now, in our situation here, again, you got to be conscious of that we do want to leave opportunity to put young players in and see where they're at. But we're going to be patient with this. The end goal here is to get a good NHL player for a long period of time. And I fully believe that step you have to go through and learn and stub your toe and go through all those processes happens best by spending a significant, in some cases, time in the American Hockey League. And for some guys, significant may be a year and a bit. For some other guys, it might be, who knows, 2-3 years. Mm-hmm. Each person's a little bit different. So to come and say there's a hard, fast rule that everybody has to play this amount of time, it varies. But when we get this franchise to where we want to be, the players are going to learn that it's not punishment that you go to the American Hockey League. That's how you learn to become an NHL player, and there's going to be a process. So, as we continue to build here and continue to add depth, that is going to be our strategy here, is everybody's going to spend some time in Adirondack, learn what it's like to be a pro, learn, to play in a grueling schedule, learn to play against men. And when you're ready to come to the place where it really counts, you're prepared to be a pro.
Joe Colburn is kind of an interesting guy because last year he graduates, plays the entire season in the National Hockey League, could have gone to arbitration. I mean, he was scheduled to go to arbitration. When we talked to him earlier in the week, I got this distinct impression he did not want to go to arbitration, happy to get this deal done. Can you just talk about 2 years and what the expectation now is for Joe moving forward?
Well, yeah, and I had a good talk with Joe, and I think, Joe's an interesting guy. Because you're right, last year was really the first full season in the NHL for Joe. But if you really look back, Joe was a player that was drafted a first-round pick. I think even going back to his draft year, and I watched Joe a lot in his draft year, one of the things, not unlike a lot of players, is he needed to develop physically. But when you really look back, Joe has spent 2 years in college, came out early. So if you really take it into context and saying, now if this player ends up playing his full 4 years, Joe's really, that last year was his second year as a pro. So I still think that this is still a young player, a developing player. The challenge that I've put to Joe now is, you spent the first full year in the NHL last year. And in a lot of cases, you know, guys are dipping their toe in the water, and there's a sense of accomplishment of I'm in the league. Now it's the challenge is to be a good player in the league, and there's a big difference of being in the league and now, you know, all the different things of coming into camp, not hoping to make the team, coming into the camp and looking to make a difference on the team and grabbing a bigger bite of the apple and you know, taking those steps to establish yourself as a good NHL player. So that's sort of the challenge that I've put to Joe is, and you know, what we liked about the deal is it gives us 2 years to continue to, you know, work with Joe, develop him further. You know, he's a real interesting guy. He's a guy who's ecstatic, as you guys well know, to be playing in his hometown. He's a, you know, and I've just got a short window here with a small window that I've dealt with Joe, but just a real personable young man. But when you look at the physical attributes, 6'5" guys, Joe's, you know, spent a good summer so far working out. He's up to about 220 or so. Those don't come around every day. So now, you know, to take that physical package and apply it, that's going to be the, you know, the challenge for Joe and for a lot of our young players as we go forward here. One of the avenues to improve is to get more from the group that you've got, and for young players to take a step. So we're looking for Joe to take a step this year.
Do you see Joe? Is he permanently a winger? Are you still toying about putting him back in the middle, or is that maybe one of the strengths of the versatility?
Yeah, well, without question, you know, being able to play multiple positions, and you know, to be quite honest, me coming in here, one of the things I looked at is just again that the size of Joe, the reach that he has, you know, he's got good hand, very good hands, able to distribute the puck, a lot of range. You know, it's very tantalizing to play him in the middle. I know that, you know, talking to Bob a lot, he really felt that Joe settled into a role and really had the most success when he was on the wing. So those are things we're going to continue to play with. The good news is the ability, you know, being a natural center, you can never have enough centermen. And, you know, I've made it very clear since I've gotten here that I really believe the good teams are built strong down the middle. And so wherever Joe ends up, the fact that you always can look to him to play center ice or have that experience at center ice, I think is a great quality. So we'll continue to play with it, and ultimately Bob will make the decision where he sees Joe fitting best.
And finally, Brad, just a couple of questions about staffing. Have you come closer to filling spots? I know you got a goalie coach spot up at the big club and Ryan Huska's assistants. Have you getting closer?
Yeah, we're getting closer. I would suspect that we will have something to announce on the assistant coach here fairly quickly. Spent a lot of time, met with a lot of great candidates. Mm. We sort of targeted one gentleman in particular, and I feel confident that's going to come to fruition sooner rather than later, and we continue to work away with the goaltending coach position, and again, for me, it's just, again, trying to find the right fit for us moving forward, so hopefully we'll have good news on both fronts before too long.
And we should point out, you and I had a conversation at Prospect Camp. You are actually taking a couple of bodies from Abbotsford and Jordan Sigalette and Mike Thompson, strength and conditioning coach. They're moving to Adirondack too, right?
Yes. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, are anything else in the wish list? Or are you still looking for depth defensemen? I know that was one area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, a couple things we're doing right now is we've got we're still working on a couple of our guys. You know, Lance Boma and Mark Kandari are two restricted free agents that you know, we're hopefully pushing forward here with them fairly soon. And then when I look at our team here, we're continuing. We're in the market here, continue to add depth to our blue line. So that's something that we've got a couple of options that we've looked at in terms of, you know, probably somebody on a two-way contract that, again, could provide call-up depth. We've got some young players in the Seelofs, the Culkins, the Kulaks. But, again, we want to make sure they're surrounded there with the right people and not, you know, throw them into the deep waters right away. So we're looking for some more depth, and I continue to look at our blue line here in Calgary as an area that we'd like to, you know, we'd like to improve upon and add to, if you will, before training camp starts. So we're not done. We're going to continue to work at it, and We're definitely not a finished product as of yet.
Always appreciate the conversations, Brad. Congratulations on getting the two players signed this week. Best of luck the rest of the offseason. I know we'll be in touch, but thanks for giving us some time.
You bet. Always a pleasure. Take care.
Brad Treliving, the general manager of the Calgary Flames, joining us down the Subway Restaurant Fresh Take Hotline. So, there you go. Joni Ortio, two-year deal. But here's the kicker. Two-way in the first year, one-way in the second. And still wondering about that goaltending coach. Find out. Could be an announcement coming here in the next little while. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to New York. Jeff Klein from the New York Times. He's going to talk to us about a project that's being done at Virginia Tech that could impact your kid here in the next couple of years as well. A little New York Rangers talk with him. And it's been a while since we've talked about the Korean men's Olympic hockey team. We'll do that with Jim Pack this afternoon at 5:25. It's a busy show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960. Talking sports all the time. No radio? No problem. Download the Rogers Radio app and never be without Sportsnet 960 again. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.